Hello, I'm Ryan Phelan, and this is the Epic Phelan Podcast. This next week here, we have Laura Bouchard from Provision Business Advisors. Being that it's a new year and a new decade, we're focusing on what's your mission and the importance of keeping score. And we are back. It's the Epic Phelan Podcast and the first episode of 2020. So a lot of us want to make resolutions in the new year. And what better to make resolutions than to have a business advisor help you do that? And today I have with me Laura Bouchard. Hello, Laura. Well, thank you for coming.
Hi, Ryan. Great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
No problem. So first things first, why don't you tell me a little bit about your business?
So my business is called Provision Business Advisors. So that's one of the businesses that I operate. I think, as you know, my husband and I also have an agricultural operation in Saskatchewan. So that's the second business that I'm involved in. The business advisory piece kind of came about from an evolution from being in education and teaching business education in particular. And so in Provision Business Advisors, we're actually marrying my background and skill set in financial accounting and as a CPA with my experience as a business owner and providing sound business advice to individuals who want to grow their businesses.
Wow. Okay. So that's intensive. So rather than just being a self-proclaimed guru, you actually have the paperwork to back you up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have the war runes, too. As a business advisor, being able to provide experience that I've actually lived with putting my house on the line and financing substantial capital investments and managing those trade-offs that always happen between your family and your business. So, you know, people talk about work-life balance. In my opinion, there is no such thing. You are never going to find work-life balance because that term balance implies equality. For something to balance, there has to be equal amounts on both sides of the fulcrum. When you're in business, you never have balance. You will always have trade-offs. You will try to optimize the time that you spend in the business, the time you spend with your family. But you actually have to come to a sense of harmony because you're never going to find balance.
Yeah, that and passion probably. You need to be like, if you're going to be putting in that kind of work, you know, you got to be passionate about what you do, whether it's passionate on the business side or on the actual product or service that you provide.
Well, passion is one piece, but there's a lot of very, I think, challenged entrepreneurs who are really passionate about their product or service, but they're bankrupt.
Yes.
And they're divorced.
That's why they need you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because as you talk about the goals for 2020, business owners often come into a business situation with passion for the actual craft, art, work, product, service that they want to offer for sale in their business. But they often don't come in with a background in how to actually manage their cash flow, how to invoice properly, how to make sure they're collecting, how to grow their business, how to diversify their client base, how to grow their team, how to hire and recruit people for their teams so that this business is sustainable and this business can actually give them the cash flow that supports the life that they want when they started business. We're often tempted by that allure of freedom.
Yeah.
I can have my own business, so I can have freedom. And you're laughing. So do you know how true that one is?
It's two things that really stick with me is the first thing is you carry around your pink slip in your back pocket every day. So you're constantly making that decision whether you are going to work or this is going to be a viable thing or not. And the second thing is that by not having a boss, everyone's your boss, right? Your customers, your customer base, that's all the people that you rely on to stay afloat.
Yeah, and that's often the role that we play with some of our clients as well, is they need a boss. And because they don't have a boss, they use someone like myself as an advisor so that they're accountable for somebody. They are articulating, these are our goals, this is what I'm going to do, this is my quarter one initiative. And so by regularly meeting with them, we're tracking their progress on achieving those goals, where there's nobody else in their business that might even know what their goals are. And often they don't take that home. So they're not sharing it with their spouse or family members or brothers or sisters or parents, depending on their situation, but they don't share it. And so nobody knows when they're succeeding. Nobody knows when they're not succeeding because it's all a secret.
And that's sometimes, I think, a bit of a security blanket. If I don't really voice my goals, or if I really don't say them, if I don't hit my targets, then nobody knows if I'm succeeding or not. But if you're working at it and if you're not hitting your goals, there's a story to be told there. And I think that sometimes that's part of why somebody wants to follow you and why somebody would want to be invested in your business and want to see you do well is seeing those peaks and valleys and where your challenges are. And
well, as I was having a conversation this morning with one of my clients, and it was about, you know, we just resolve this issue. We just get this issue resolved. And I said, you know, it's normal to have issues. We might be able to reduce these two particular issues that we're focused on today, but that's going to mean others are going to crop up.
Yeah.
And as we, it's sort of like the whack-a-mole, as we whack one, another one pops up. The key is really looking at which issues are we focusing on that are likely to have the biggest impact. Because every time we focus on a challenge or an issue or a growth opportunity, it takes energy and effort. And we can't focus on 10 things and get any progress on any of them. So we have to focus on the critical few that are going to have the largest impact on our business. And sometimes those are the things that we want to do, and sometimes those are the things we don't want to do.
Yes.
So we have human procrastination, we have human behavior to overcome, not only with the team members or our family members that are impacted by these initiatives that we've decided to pursue, but our own.
Absolutely. So saying all this, and we are at 2020, I mean, and sure, New Year's is just another day, but we're at 2020, we're at a new year and a new decade. Somebody that wants to really kind of buckle down and get some goal setting in place and really want to make it happen, what are some of the first things that they should be doing this year?
Some of the first things is they actually need to get clear on their motivation.
Their why.
Yeah, they have to actually know why they need to achieve those goals. And not only the why for the business, but their personal purpose. So why is this important that they achieve those goals? And they have to get real, because there's a payoff for us with not achieving those goals. So we have to be aware of what's in it for us if we do achieve the goals, but also what is kind of going on in the background that maybe is helping us not achieve those goals. Because sometimes, and as scary as it is, there's a lot of people who are afraid of success.
Maybe expand on that a little bit, because I've heard of this before and it's really interesting.
It's almost their identity to be somebody who's trying and trying and trying and trying, but not getting there.
Yeah.
And so they've got all of these people behind them that are cheerleaders for them, whether those are family members or team members or suppliers, and they're all rah, 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 how's it going? And they love sort of commiserating in that almost there, not quite got it, not quite got it. They get a lot of positive feedback. They get a lot of reinforcement for that. When and if they power through and really achieve the success that they could achieve if they focused on the right levers, they sometimes feel that they're going to now not fit in with that group, and they're not going to have their sense, their whole identity and sense of belonging is going to be affected by being successful. Everybody's got perceptions, and you know, you're playing, you know, even growing up in school, the person who was the class clown was the class clown, the person who did this or did that, that was their identity in that class. And so they got reinforced a lot for it. And if they chose to break out of that mold, there's a lot of momentum pulling them back.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I can totally see that, and being even the fear of, like, you know, hitting some kind of success and having those around you think, oh, okay, well, they don't need the business. I can go to their competitor now, or I can go to someone else, and I don't need to support them because they're doing well enough, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we know that what looks successful on the outside isn't always successful on the inside.
No.
That's one of the key things that I work with my clients on are the financial dashboards. Because if you're not watching and tracking your financial metrics, you're not keeping score. So you're playing this game for 12 months and you're not keeping score. You just take your stuff into the accountant at the end of the year and say, now I need to do my year end because CRA is making me be compliant and do this stuff.
Yeah.
But you're not keeping score the entire year.
Yeah.
So could you imagine if you were playing a football game and a season and you weren't keeping score all season for the CFL, and just at the end of the season you were deciding who the winner was?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Business owners do that day in and day out. They don't keep score. And if they keep score of anything, all they do is check and see how much money's in the bank.
Yeah.
And we know that how much money's in the bank has nothing to do with how actually profitable you are or how good a business owner you are. Because we can get money in the bank from lots of sources.
Oh, yeah. So would you say, like, along with your goal setting, you should also be reverse engineering those goals and having timelines set when you want to achieve your targets to attain that goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the goal for 2020 is to increase your clients by, let's say, maybe 20% more clients. Yeah. You want 20% more active files, 20% more active clients. Then you know where you are now. So 20% of where you are now, you know, you could do the math. Say, okay, I need to get 10 more clients or 5 more clients by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then you can look at, historically, what's your conversion rate? So how many leads do you need to talk to before you convert one to a client?
Yeah.
You know, if you need 5 leads to get one client, well, if you want 20 clients, now you need 100 leads.
Yeah.
So now you can divide those back into how many do I need to get a month, how many a week, how many a day. So what do I need to do to generate? What activity do I need to do that's going to help me achieve that goal? Because I know with my formula for my recipe for success, if I need 5 leads to get one client and one client is going to give me $15,000 average revenue for the year, I now can figure out how I'm going to grow my profit, how I'm going to grow my revenue, and how I'm going to grow my profits.
Mm-hmm. So, like going to the gym and making the plan to do that, a lot of people have the best of intentions when they first start off. What's the trick? Obviously, having a business advisor, mm-hmm. having someone breathing down your neck is a good thing, and having somebody that knows what your goals are and knows what your plans are and where you want to be to help keep you in line. But what would be some other things that you could do to just keep you in flow?
Well, you've got to keep score. There's a lot of disciplines and routines that we work with for our clients to implement, because our goal is for them to be self-sufficient, so they don't need us. You know, for us to educate them on understanding their financials, understanding the processes, understanding the metrics, and we start filling the gaps in. But they're developing their system that makes sense for them. So as we're supporting them in developing that, they're learning. Once we get some good systems in place, then the biggest role we play is being that independent advisor and being able to see what's going on without the emotional attachment to the business. You can see yourself, when you've created a document, you're so in love with it. You know exactly what you meant when you wrote it.
Yeah.
You don't catch any spelling mistakes. You know, you don't see the formatting problems. You don't see that you wrote form when you wanted from.
Yep.
You don't notice any of those things because you know what you meant to write. But if you just give it a little bit of time and come back to it, you can often see some of those mistakes. But if you print it and change the format, you can often see some more mistakes. But if you get somebody else to read it, they see those mistakes really easily because they don't know what you meant to write.
Yes.
They see what doesn't make sense. They ask a question about, I'm not quite sure that the point here that you wanted to make is coming through. What was your main message here?
Yeah.
And that's the role that we can play on an ongoing basis, is that independent point of view to bring into an email, a conversation, a script, a situation, because we don't have the emotional attachment. We're not friends with the suppliers and the employees. And so we can come at it from a perspective that is less emotional and more from either a psychological perspective or human behavior perspective or an organizational development perspective, because we bring that knowledge that we also bring from our training and experience.
I really admire what you do, really sitting here thinking about myself as an entrepreneur and knowing the other entrepreneurs that I know. Would you say it's challenging in dealing with us group that in the sense that we have a lot of ego? Like, where it's like, this is my business, and I'm not going to let somebody tell me how to run my business. And then also, like, a little bit of maybe even fear-based. If I get a little bit of advice for somebody, this is not my baby anymore. And
working with a set of entrepreneurs is sometimes challenging, but it's challenging working with people who aren't entrepreneurs. People are people.
Yeah.
And the whole spectrum is in the entrepreneurial world as well as in an employee workforce. So you have people who are very demanding, and you have other people who aren't meek and mild and aren't very demanding. So you do still have the whole range of human personalities and characteristics in entrepreneurs. But what we do find is that early on in an entrepreneurial setting, individuals have to have so much perseverance and determination. And they have to believe in the passion that they're on the right track and this is a good idea to be able to persevere and push through those initial hard times. And what often then happens is once they hit that magical 3 years where they've survived the, they've survived 3 years, and they start now having a business that's generating some cash flow, that's operating at a good spot, now they almost need to have a behavior modification, and we need the second personality to come in, because now that high demanding perseverance person is the one that we need to make them a little meeker.
Yes.
Because that high demanding person doesn't generally do really well when they have to start hiring people. Because they'd rather hip check them out of the way and do it themselves than have the patience and have the strategies to actually onboard and train and develop a team member to meet their performance standards. And so that's almost where we need to have the Jekyll and Hyde. We need to change the personality when they hit that 3, 4, 5 year mark. And that's often where they struggle the most, is when they start hiring team members. And whether those are employees or contractors, it doesn't matter. Same thing. You're still bringing people into your organization that are going to be critical for you to deliver your products or services or to do some ancillary work. And so that's often where they need some help from somebody like me, because I come in with a different strategy. I'm not likely going to be as confrontational and as aggressive with doing performance management with an employee or a contractor as their initial reaction, as their natural tendency would be. And so we back them up. And if we have a process, people are pretty good at following it.
Yes.
If they're involved in developing that process and they're involved in the scripting and they're trained in how we're going to go about doing that, they're often very, very good at implementing them, but they need some help with the scripting.
Yes. Systems and processes, I think, are critical, and especially for somebody that's not only done this for themselves but has helped others do this is invaluable.
And systems and processes, the most that they do for us is they protect us from ourselves.
Yes.
We were just chatting earlier about the gym. Well, if we want to start being healthier, we have to put a system and a process and a routine in place that's going to support us being healthier. Otherwise, we will sabotage ourselves.
Yeah.
And it is the same on an entrepreneurial situation. As soon as you have a little bit of conflict with an employee, you don't think anymore. Your initial gut reaction kicks in and you hip check them out of the way, or you fire them and say, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you now have a mess that you have to clean up again. And if you don't do that in a good form, you might have labor standards talking to you or a lawyer calling you if you have not treated, harassed your employees or bullied your employees or not treated them in a fair way. And so that's often where we run into some challenges, is that people don't have the processes in place, and they go from, oh, it's never happened before, so it's never going to happen. And when you do, it's pretty expensive.
I'm just wondering here, coaching versus advising.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear a lot about business coach. Oh, I have a business coach. But you're a business advisor.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Thanks for asking, Ryan. I get that question all the time. You know, when we think about a coach, coaches typically are really good at asking questions and getting the individual that they are coaching to come up with their own solutions. And so a coaching conversation is likely going to be a cheerleader saying, rah, 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 what do you think you need to do? And now you go do it. Now you go figure it out. Whereas the role that I play is more, not only will we help you identify and diagnose where the needs are in the business, but we'll also work with you on, here's the strategy, here's the technique, help you with the execution of it. So we're not saying, go figure it out. You know, we're getting in there and we're actually helping you with it. There's a lot of coaching credentials out there. You have to be careful about vetting. And I always advise my clients on anything, do your due diligence. Ask questions. Find out what kind of professional qualifications they have. Because a coaching certification is a company credential.
Yeah.
So there's no academic rigor. There's no governing body that polices the ethics and the conduct of a business coach. There are some coaching associations that they may also be certified in that have more of that professional rigor. But most business coaches have taken a weekend or a 1 week course put on by the company that's often a franchise.
Yeah.
They may or may not have a business background. They may or may not have any kind of academic credential in business. And so they basically are trained in sales, and they're trained in that coaching company's products and services. So this is the workshop we offer. This is our one-to-one coaching programs. This is the fee structure. Here's how you sell coaching.
Here's your magic pill.
Yeah. You're not given any training on actual business fundamentals.
Okay.
There's no module that teaches you about business strategy. No, you just go figure it out.
One of the key words that you said, you know, right at the beginning there was... execution.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's so important, because you can have all the bright and shiny ideas you want, but execution is key.
To me, it comes down to some rigor, too. I mean, you can walk into Chapters and pick up all kinds of books on sales and marketing and leadership and all those kinds of books. Very few of them, if any, have actually any research backing them.
Yeah.
So there's somebody's opinion that they've written, maybe some anecdotes in there. There might be some stories from their own history. But you don't find the list of references from research documentation that's been done. And that's really the big difference when you go and look at an academic book. So the books that you buy at the university bookstore are very different than the books you buy at Chapters or Indigo or yes. Common Trait. Right? So those books have been researched. So having an academic background, we have the strategy and the tests and the people that are writing those academic journals and presenting at academic conferences and are well respected by their peers for their work in these areas. And so that's the background that you get in a business advisor that is a professional. I'm a chartered professional accountant and I have 2 master's degrees. So the academic rigor that I bring to working with my clients comes from both having an accounting designation, having an MBA, and having a master's in education. And so the master's in education comes into my ability to work with clients on training initiatives, workplace learning, the human side of it.
Yes.
And whereas my background in the finance area, my MBA is in finance and my undergrad is in accounting, is really marrying the numbers and the people. And usually if you find a business coaches tend to be really good at sales,
yeah.
Not necessarily good at marketing, but good at sales. And some of them are good at culture or team, but very few of them have a financial background. And that's what makes your business succeed or not, is paying attention to how all these activities that you're doing moves the needle on your financial statements. Makes your balance sheet healthy.
Yes, knowing your numbers. And
yeah.
So something I ask all my guests, being that we're in Calgary, it's a very popular question. Mm-hmm. Where are you from? Because most people are not from Calgary that are in Calgary.
No, I'm from Saskatchewan. So I was born and raised in Saskatchewan. My dad was a school teacher, so I moved about 9 times. But I did my high school in Saskatoon and university in Saskatoon. But before that time, I lived in towns that had 400 people, 200 people, 400 people.
Oh, nice.
When I moved to Saskatoon, my high school was as big as the biggest town I had ever lived in.
Oh,
so
wow.
I am a true small town girl from Saskatchewan, and did move to Saskatoon when I was in high school and did my university training there as well.
So what brought you to Calgary?
When I married my husband, he was working in Lloydminster, so we went to Lloydminster, and then he, as many Saskatchewan farm boys, got pulled into the oil industry from yep. Lloydminster, and that took us to Fort McMurray, and then we got transferred to Calgary 11 years ago.
Okay. What do you like about Calgary? What are some of your favorite things about this city here?
I had a few criteria about moving anywhere. And because, you know, as we prepare for that next horizon and life after business and life after work, I wanted to be in a place where there was a university so that I could go back to school and continue yep. to learn. I wanted to be in a place where my children and potentially grandchildren would want to come visit grandma. And
nice.
So we're close to the mountains. And I wanted to have an international airport so that when you wanted to travel or go someplace, you didn't have to land and then drive for 3 or 4 hours to get home. So those were the criteria, and Calgary has those criteria. And so we're quite happy to be living here.
Mm, right on. So that's what you love about the city, is that it's very accessible and checks all your boxes.
Yeah, we actually don't live in the city. So we live just outside of the city. We get the benefits of the city amenities, but we don't pay city property tax.
Oh, no. Sneaky. No. That's one of the really nice things about Calgary, I find, is that you have these outlying areas that have like that have kept that small town feel, but really you have all the advantages of living in what has grown to be a bigger city.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we live on the west side of the city, so we're an hour closer to Banff than anybody that lives in the southeast, and we enjoy that.
Nice. No, yeah. that's awesome. With the podcast being called Epic Phelan, being mm-hmm. a play on my name, what would you say going into here 2020 would be an epic fail for a business owner with their planning out for the year?
Well, an epic fail is not planning.
Failing to plan.
Yeah. That's your epic fail. It's like going on a journey and you don't know where you're going. you might get there, but any place will do.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, that to me is the fail, is not putting the measures down, not putting the goals, not putting the metrics down. Some of the reluctance to do that is people don't give themselves permission to miss their targets. Like, we know that we're not going to hit our targets. We might almost hit some. We might exceed some. We might epically fail in some of them.
Yeah.
But if we don't hit them, if we don't write them down and document them, we don't even know what direction we're aiming for.
True.
And so having them written down, it helps us now, as we talked about earlier, reverse engineer for what are the activities that I need to do to hit those targets. And that's what we track on a weekly, monthly, daily, quarterly basis. How am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not on track to hit those targets, do I need to revise the target? Do I need to change the activity I'm doing? Because we make those targets based on a whole bunch of assumptions. We assume, you know, what's going to be in the environment outside. So what's our political environment going to be? What's the economic? What are people's tastes and preferences going to be? And we make a bunch of assumptions.
Yeah.
We also make a bunch of assumptions about what's inside our company. We make a bunch of assumptions about what our competitors are going to do. And none of those assumptions are going to be 100% right.
True.
So we have to constantly be monitoring what's going on. So we're reacting. And so we're tweaking either the activities we're doing. We may be changing the metrics. We might be changing the timeline for when we're going to hit those. But if we're not paying attention to the return on the investment, what's the return on the investment I'm making? And the investment can be time, can be stress, can be financial resources, capital, your time, your employees' time, your contractors. If you're not tracking the return on the trade-offs you're making, the opportunity cost, you could be busy, but not getting where you want to go.
True. That's I like all of that. Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, or somebody that anybody should get a hold of you, if they want to make their 2020 successful, so what avenues can they do that by?
They can find me on Facebook, so ProVision Business Advisors on Facebook. They can also find me on LinkedIn, and of course, check out my website at provisioncoaching.ca.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Laura, and thank you for being my very first guest of the new year and the new decade, and looking at having you back, maybe.
You're welcome. It's really fitting. Our name of our business is ProVision Business Advisors, and we've got 2020 Vision, so
yeah.
As we start setting those goals, 2020 Vision with ProVision is the way to go.
Yeah, so to my listeners, what is your 2020 Vision?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you should be talking to Laura at ProVision to find that out.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And as always, until next time, stay epic.
Thanks for listening to Epic Failin'. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe and give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Real Ryan Failin'. And visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.